Karen, appreciate that so much. You know, and we're talking about something here this morning, but we all talk about the presence of God, and you feel that, you know, the peace and all those kind of things. And somehow we want to have all those things without having God make any demands on us. And you can't have peace and do what you want, because we'll do something wrong. And the fact is, we want his peace. We've got to rely on him. To rely on him, we've got to do with some things he asks us to do. Would you take your Bibles and turn to Joshua chapter 1? Joshua chapter 1. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. First book after the Pentateuch, the book of the law. After the books of the law, the Pentateuch. The first five books, you have the book number 6, Joshua. Now, I have dealt with this passage before. I am doing this in the context of our theme for the year, Jesus, our hope. And just as we've been kind of talking about here, didn't really plan all the music like this. I don't, they kind of choose those out, but we want to have hope. The first hymn we did, Like a River Glorious, is our hope. Well, this is how we find the hope. I'm going to quote one that you have heard me do many, many times, and then we'll look at Joshua 1:8. Psalm 1, just listen to me here, and I've quoted so many times. This is my life's verse. This is what I live by. This is what I live by. In fact, the very first Sunday school lesson, the very first message, if you will, that I gave in this church was from Psalm 1. I remember we were back in a fellowship hall, and it was just a few of us there for Sunday school. And this is my life. This is what I live by. And I'll be honest with you, I'm looking square in the eye as best I can all the one time. It works. If it's not working, then you're not working it. God has a promise. It says in Psalm 1, you just listen to it. It says, blessed, happy, having benefit coming toward him. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Not listening to whatever all the world's saying. You start listening to what the world's saying, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Doesn't run around and have a whole bunch of conversations with a bunch of folks who are going to get you in trouble. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. By the way, there's a progress there. You start listening to the counsel, the ungodly. Before long, you'll be standing along with them, having a conversation about it. And then if you're not careful, you'll be sitting in the same bunch. You know how, you remember how you used to be in school? There was always a bunch of guys in the back class making fun of everybody else. You'll be sitting in the seat of the scornful making fun of the things of God. It says, bless the man that walketh not. It doesn't do these things. Verse 2, but this blessed man, his delight is in the law, the rules of life. His delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight is in the law of the Lord to the point where he says, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That word meditate, some people say it means to kind of chew the cud. The word is really murmur. It sounds like a bad thing, but what it means is, have you ever had anybody, yeah, maybe you do it. You kind of talk to yourself. We talk about, you know, learning things and so forth, and, you know, how music helps us understand and remember things. And I'll bet almost anyone who's ever done any filing has gone to the filing cabinet and went, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I. Maybe not out loud, but it was on the tip of your lip, you know. Because I say, where's that cue again? It's down here somewhere. That's what it means here. When it says to meditate day and night, it's just like it's on the tip of the lip. You're just kind of muttering it to yourself all day long. Verse 3. So he doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He does delight in the law of the Lord. He thinks about it all the time. Verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And listen to this. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. We've had kind of a drought around here recently. And I've got some trees that are having a hard time. Now, a few years ago we had that problem. I had a willow tree that died. Because it was weeping willows, got to be down by the water. And the fact is, because it was too dry. Now, they've gotten their roots down there far enough down in the spring heads now that they're doing just fine this year. But they didn't have their root. They weren't where the living water is. And if you don't, listen, if you're not near the living water when the droughts of life come up, you're going to dry up on the vine. Now, the passage that I wanted you to look at was in Joshua chapter 1. And let me read a few verses here for you. Joshua chapter 1. Tell you what, let's pray. I'm going to get to preaching, and I'll forget to pray, and that's not a good thing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house again this morning. Lord, this is a wonderful principle. Lord, this is a delightful thing. This is a great thing, and it's great hope. Hope for success. And Lord, you've given us a guaranteed formula for success. A guaranteed formula for success. And Lord, may we see it, even though it seems so simple and elementary. Lord, help us to see it and use it. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Joshua 1:8. I'm going to read the first eight verses real quick, and then we're going to go back and cover it. It says, now after the death of Moses, you know that the children of Israel went down into Egypt, and there they became a great nation. They were bound in slavery, and they prayed to God, and God sent Moses to deliver them out and brought them out. And he brought them to the edge of the promised land, and he had done great things. They crossed the Red Sea. All these things, the wonderful things, all the plagues and everything, the way that God showed his power. But when they got over here, looked into the promised land, and said, well, there's giants over there. We can't handle that, and so we'll just stay here in the wilderness, which a lot of people do. They get saved and they spend the rest of their life in the wilderness. You don't have to. And part of what we're talking about here is we don't have to live in this wilderness. But anyway, they spent around 40 years. Finally, Moses died. It's time for Joshua to take them into the promised land. And that's where we are right now. It says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun. Just for instance, just to put it on the side there, Joshua is the same word as Jesus. It means God our Savior. And the word Nun means perpetuity. So you could, let's say Joshua, the son of Nun, really kind of means Jesus, the son of perpetuity. The one that never dies, the one that's been forever. But anyway, that's just a nice little picture. It's another study you can go through one of these days. And he said, verse 2, he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give, watch, land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that, watch, that have I given unto you. Given is in the past tense. It's already done. It's their land. They could have had it 40 years earlier, but they just, well, there's pretty big sized guys over there. I don't think we can do it. Were they the biggest of the Red Sea? But anyway, he says, I've given. It's already committed to you. Count it as yours. It's assigned to you. It's appointed to you. It is yours if you'll take it the proper way. And by the way, success is yours for the taking. Now hang on. Verse 3 says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. As I told him a long time ago. But here we are again. Verse 4. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. It's yours. Nobody can kick you out unless you kick yourself out. But nobody else is going to be able to kick you out. Success, watch, is basically already determined. This is yours. Success is already determined. Watch, it says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Now think of those words. This land is yours. Nobody can take it away from you. I will not fail thee. I will not walk away from you. I will not forsake you. And by the way, if you fail, he's saying, it's not because God didn't or couldn't do his part. The question is whether we will be willing to do our part. Verse 6. Well, what's our part? Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto the fathers to give them. So God, who cannot lie, has already given his word. It's theirs. And so he says, be strong, take it, be of good courage, because it's your inheritance. You don't get it. You don't get inheritance because you don't buy inheritance. You get it because you're part of the family. He says, this is yours. Verse 7. Well, wait a second. Only be thou strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Now look at that phrase. It didn't say, now be strong and very courageous, because these guys are going to come with big swords and you're going to have to fight them. That's not what he said. He didn't say, be strong and very courageous, because they're pretty ugly. They're scary guys. He didn't say, be strong and courageous, because the giants are still over there, and they were. He didn't say, be strong and courageous that you can fight the enemy. He says, here's what I want you to do. Here's your job. I want you to suck it up and be a man. Watch. That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Sometimes the hardest thing to do is to obey.
If I do that, that's really scary.
You see, that's where they missed out 40 years earlier. They went over there, they looked at the promised land. God had killed the firstborn. He had done all the plagues. The Israelites basically were paid to leave town. The people gave them money and get out of town. They get to the Red Sea, and God says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And so the Red Sea opens up. They go across dry land. They turn around and watch the sea go back over all the Egyptian army. They're wiped out. They're done, and away they go. And they get into the promised land, and they get in there and say, well, there's some pretty big guys over there. He said, no, be strong and of a good courage and do what I told you. Do what I told you. We get scared to do the work of God, the word of God, because it takes faith in God. Now, hang on. Verse 7, let me go back to the beginning. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book, he's going to explain, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, see how far we get today. We're going to do a little series of messages. And my message, this series is called Hope for Success. We want hope. Are we going to be able to do this? This is going to work, okay? This morning's message I've entitled Guaranteed Formula for Success. A guaranteed formula for success. Now, let me put one disclaimer on here. That doesn't mean we're all going to be filthy rich. In fact, the devil will make you as rich as you want, especially because he knows that the prosperity of a fool shall destroy him. If we're a bunch of dummies, he'll give us all the money we can, and it'll just tear us apart. That's one of the things that, I hate to say it, that's one of the things we do in our society. We give people who don't have enough sense to go to work a lot of money, and it simply destroys it, makes it worse. Now, some people are truly need help. I understand. The poor you shall always have you. That's what the Lord says. But the fact is, just handing out money is not helping anybody. You know, you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day, you teach him to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. You know? I don't want to get all in that, but I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel here. fact, if you can't handle a lot, God's not going to give you a lot because he loves you. You don't hand a five-year-old the keys to the car. We're all going to have a problem. You're going to have a scratch in your car, too. Now, but watch me. Now, a hope for success. Hope, we've talked about this, is a confident expectation. The expectation that good things are going to happen is not confident because we're crossing our fingers and really, really, really hoping. It's not hoping we and trying to get away from the knock on wood, get rid of the jinx. That's not what we're talking about. We have a confident expectation, a true hope, because we are basing our expectation on a completely reliable source. See what I'm saying? I know it's going to happen because I have a reliable source. Our hope is only as good, the hope that we feel, is only as good as our expectation. And our expectation is only as good as the source from which we have derived our expectation. We are placing our confidence in the promise of God. The promise of God is only as good as the character of God. Right? Now, if you have confidence in God, if you have no confidence in God, you have no confidence in the promises of God, so thus you're going to live hopeless. Psalm 42 said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God." Why do I think there's no hope when there's God? There is God. Now, listen. If we have, on the other hand, we cannot have confidence in God if we do not know the promises of God in God's Word. If we don't know God's Word, then how can we have hope in God? We're looking for some kind of feeling. Give me a feeling. You want a feeling? Take it back off your TV and put your hand in there. You get a feeling. We're not looking for a feeling. We're looking for the promises of the Word of God. This is not blind hope. This is the Word of God. If we have faith in God, then the Word of God settles the issue. And so if God gives a promise, we can have a confident expectation of the fulfillment of that promise. Because the God that cannot lie has given his word on the matter. You cannot say you believe God fully and still want, "I don't know, I can't do it." You'll know where your faith is when God puts the pressure on. And when God puts the pressure on, you turn around and go the other direction. Don't tell me you have faith in him. I remember years ago, how little kids all like to climb trees. And our neighbor boy got out on a limb there he couldn't get off. And the limb was, it was probably, close to 10 foot off the ground. Now, his father was 6'2" or 6'3" or whatever, a pretty good sized man. And he's out in this limb, but he was scared to go back. So what did his father say? "Well, I'll catch you. Just let go. Just let go. I got you. Just let go. I got you. Come on." Now, he's a big man. The man had arms like my legs, And the guy's going to catch him. There's no problem. The little boy wasn't that big. It just really wasn't going to be a big problem. But he had to let go. Now, if he didn't trust his daddy to catch him, he was not going to let go. But he had enough faith to let go. That's faith. See what I'm saying? And sometimes we got to let go of it and do what God says. If we can't let go and do as God said, then we don't trust him yet. And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Meditate. Listen, many folks will go to God looking for the peace that comes from a confident expectation called hope. They're looking for hope. However, when God gives them instructions on how to acquire that hope from God, they argue in their hearts with God over the requirements of God, and they try to adjust the program and wonder why God's program is not working. They want to check out some other options on the right hand, maybe. Maybe there's some on the left. And all the while, no longer actually following God's commands. And they wonder why the peace didn't come. However, at the point we have moved away from the stipulations of God's word, At that point, we have moved away from the stipulations of God's word by which we can obtain the promises. So we can't claim the promises because we've moved away from the stipulations to get the promises. What we're going to begin here today is very elementary. But see, we teach this to the children, and we expect them to hear and believe it and live by it. But we're adults. We're enlightened. We have brains. We've been educated. We have street smarts. We're wise. We've got experiences, so we know more than God does. We will claim to follow the word of God, but continue to find loopholes in God's plan and come up with upgrades to God's plan and still claim it's God's plan. If we change the plan, it's no longer the same plan. God has a plan for success. It is easy to understand. Many people just can't bring themselves to believe it and obey it, and so they assume God's plan is not really saying what it's saying. Now, we need to approach these messages with an open heart and accept them with what we're saying, not try to explain them away. And I know I've covered this passage before, but I want to start with this passage here, and then we got some things in weeks down the road here. Number one, that was introduction. I will stop in a good time. Number one, ready? Joshua 1, verse 7. Number one, we must decide. Let me finish the question out, the statement. We must decide that God's word is God's word. I kind of wish you had been here for Sunday school. Brother Nathan's been doing some things. We're starting out some basic Bible doctrines, and he's been doing some things on how we know we have the word of God. Inspiration, preservation, you know, revelation. And those things are so important. We kind of say, well, all right, I think it is, but let me see how it's going to work out first, and then I'll go back and really figure out the Bible thing here, and we never do, you know. And so we really never ground ourselves on what the Word of God is about. By the way, you can get the CDs if you want. He's only done about 3 messages so far, so I'll go back and get them. If you're in another Sunday school class, get those CDs. I really would encourage you to do it. You say, well, he's just a young guy. Yeah, but it's fresh. He just came from college. It's all fresh in his mind. Doesn't have a cloudy old mind with cobwebs in it, okay? It's good. It's stuff. He's studying it. It's all there. Remember, from coming back from college, I would encourage you to do that. Now, first thing we got to do is decide that God's word is God's word. Joshua 1:7, it says, only be thou strong. In other words, if we want to claim the promises that he's talking about, we must be strong. He said, here's the thing. Be thou strong. That word strong means to fasten onto with a firm grip. Seize it. Restrain it. Don't let it go. He said, I want you to be strong and very courageous. Alert. Courageous. Steadfast. Steadfastly minded. Obstinate about. Narrow-minded, if you will. It's the Word of God. Don't mess with the Word of God. It's forever settled in heaven. Psalm 119:89. It's the Word. You say, well, you know, there's some other options. There is no other option. This is the word of God. Now, the fact is, if you're not willing to go and study this thing, again, I would encourage you to get some of these other things from Sunday school, but study this book. The folks who say, well, there's full of this and this and that's the problem, this, you haven't studied it. Rightly divide the word of truth. You study it. Compare scripture with scripture, precept upon precept, line upon line. You put it together. If you've got it, you come up with something that looks like a discrepancy, you just need to learn. You just need to read a little bit longer. You'll find, and usually there's the place that have the greatest jewels. You know, you dig down there and you'll find it's some of the greatest jewels. They're hidden, but they're there. It's a wonderful thing. You need to decide this is the word of God. And if you're gonna decide, I don't think I can believe that this is the word of God, and you're obstinate about that, well, just forget it. So I'm just supposed to believe it? You're supposed to read it. You're supposed to study it. Watch this. You go to the Word of God, read the book of John, Gospel of John. If you really have a sincere heart, you can say with a sincere heart, Lord, if you're really God and this reveals you, show me. If you're sincere, I think he'll show you. And you'll find out in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. You're back to verse 14, and in him was, and he became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Came into his own received not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You got an open heart, you'll be surprised, and it all starts to make sense. We've got to decide, he says, only be thou strong, very courageous, obstinate about. Now, we cannot approach this process half-heartedly. There are many half-hearted Christians. They do not want to be fanatical about it. What, actually believe it and live it by it? Yep. I believe you, Daddy, but I just can't let go. You don't believe me. Number two. Number one says we must decide. Number two, we must decide to do. D-O, that little word, do. The formula for success, a guaranteed formula. First, we must decide, it's the word of God. We must decide to do. Look at verse 7. Again, it says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. It says that thou mayest observe. When we observe Memorial Day, it changes what we do that day. We always come in. We have a big Memorial Day weekend. We try to pull out the stops. We bring in a color guard, and the choir is going to sing some patriotic music. We're going to raise the flag. We're going to sing. We're going to play all the branches of the army, the branches of the military, their song, their hymn, and all those kind of things, and we make a big to-do about it, have them stand up, and we're going to observe it, make a big to-do about it. He says, I want you to observe to do all, according to all the law. That word observe means to hedge, to guard, to attend to beware, not to neglect, to be circumspect about, to tend to every detail of the process, to get picky about the law, to observe, to do according completely every aspect. Listen, we cannot play games with the law of God. That's why our nation is where it is today. Psalm 36, there is no fear of God before their eyes. It says, the transgression of the wicked tells my heart there's no fear of God before their eyes. Listen, we cannot play games. We are to live intentionally. We are to live on purpose. We need to decide to do right because right is right to do. And where are we going to find what's right? In the book. Because we've already decided this is God's word. Not man's word. We need to get a grip on the word of God and determine to do it. We cannot pick and choose which laws we agree with and which we are no longer necessary, or which ones are outdated because we're in the 21st century, or which ones we don't want to talk about because somebody might not like it and then we might make somebody mad. Now, I don't want to get out there and make somebody mad. I like everybody like me. I really do. But if I got to choose between you and God, I'm going to pick God. Now, I can try to do it as nice as I can. Now, of course, now listen, if I'm out in the street and I'm talking to somebody, I'm not going to get in your face and do this. You know, we're preaching. It's a little different context here. If someone said, well, what do you think about homosexuality? Well, God says it's an abomination. Frankly, it makes my skin crawl. So do Brussels sprouts. Hey, you know the best way to serve Brussels sprouts? With a tennis racket. Anyway, it's not my preference. It's not my preference. It's not because of a certain time of life. It's not that, well, it's just okay to go out and sow your wild oats. Heterosexual wild oats are just as bad as homosexual wild oats. Well, okay? That's not the point. We cannot pick and choose. He said, listen, only be thou strong. This is tough. Well, my neighbor's going to get mad at me. My cousin, my brother. Well, God cares. And we got to do it right. And the fact is, I want to win them to Christ. I don't want to get in their face and, you know, nose to nose. I can't prove them that it's wrong anyway, because the things of God are foolish to the natural man. But the Holy Spirit can. And if I keep a clean vessel, he can talk to their heart. I'm not going to convince them, and neither are you. The best convincing is let God make you what you're supposed to be. And so eventually they're going to say, I want what they have. Open up a door. Let the word of God be on your lips all the time. You know what, every time they talk about some kind of Bible verse is coming out. I'll tell you, they may not like it now, but I'll tell you, when some kind of problem goes on in their life, it's amazing how religious we get real quick. When everything falls apart, you know who they're going to come to? That person they know that knows the Word of God. And that's when you can say, let me ask you a question. You want a relationship with God? Let me ask you this. If you were to die today, you're never sure without a shadow of a doubt you'd go to heaven. If you were outside the gates of heaven and they asked you why they should let you in the door, what would you tell them? And if it's anything other than the blood of Jesus died for all my sins or something such as that, then you say, well, let me ask you this. Has anyone ever taken the Bible and shown you how God will guarantee you heaven? And most times they're going to say no. Will it be okay if I did? First two parts don't sound too good, but we'll move on from there. Gets good after that. We're all sinners. Because of our sin, we deserve death and hell. But Jesus commended his love. God commended his love towards us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, listen, I put more meat on the bones than that, but I'm just, listen, that's the answer. We take that as a promise. Why can't we take this as a promise? So we must decide that God's word is God's word. We must decide to do according to all that's written therein. Can't pick and choose. Number three. Hang on. It says in our verse, it says that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. That word is the law. That word law is talking about the law of God, but specifically what we call the Decalogue. Dec. D-E-C, like decade. The Decalogue is the Ten Commandments. Now, you know what? You know where one of the reasons why our nation is where it is? We took the Ten Commandments off the wall. And we have, I'm sorry, preachers, and me too, we haven't spent enough time on that. Because, see, that's how the law is our schoolmaster, show us that we're sinners. And if we don't keep the law in front of us, we'll forget that we're really that bad. And we forget that we're sinners, we forget to repent, because there's nothing to repent of, and we're not sinners. And before long, we're filthy, dirty, and we feel fine. And we wonder where God went. Well, he doesn't walk in the dirt. He doesn't walk in the darkness. You can't say you have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, because he doesn't walk in darkness, he walks in light. Well, I don't know why Jesus doesn't walk with me anymore. Well, then walk where Jesus walks. Well, how do you do that? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. We say, going back to the Old Testament, you're not saved by those. I'm talking about being happy. I'm talking about being a success. We're saved by grace, by faith, accepting his gift of salvation. Why don't we just have success by faith following his word? And by the way, Jesus said this. He said, they asked him, what is the greatest commandment? He says, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, and all thy strength. The second like unto it, to love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two law hang all the law and the prophets. So the fact is, I don't need the Ten Commandments if I'm filled with the love of Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And so why? Because if I love you, I won't steal from you. If I love you, I won't cheat on you, cheat with your wife. If I love you, I'm going to be glad you got a new car and I didn't. I'm not going to covet my neighbor's car. See, we don't even think about that. According to all. See, we think, listen, have you ever seen those commercials? The whole neighborhood will envy you. You ever see those commercials? You'll be the envy of the neighborhood if you get this car or you have this in your house or you get new siding and you have this, you're going to have the pole and everybody's going to be envious. You realize that goes against the law? And we laugh about it, and we think it was no big thing. The fact is, we should be glad somebody else got it. You see, we don't really realize really how far we've backed away from living according to all that's written therein. And we wonder why we're not seeing the success that we want to see. We wonder why families are slowly falling apart. And you know what we do? We see these things. Grandma, she was kind of a fanatic. She was a holy roller. She was a religious. She actually did that stuff. But that was grandma. Well, you know what? When grandma was living, we didn't have to fear to walk down the streets of York at night. There's people sitting in here who knew what it was like not to have to worry about walking down the streets of York at night. I know people go to our church and said, at 12 o'clock they'd get off from work and they'd walk down the street and never thought anything about it. And if there was a problem, they could knock on the door. It probably wasn't even locked. They could say, hey, Joe, listen, if we could do that again in York, we would say, man, we've been successful. Now there's life. And we've gradually walked away and backed off. And because we have a whole lot more things in the garage all locked up, we're afraid to take out because somebody might scratch it. We think we've been successful. So number three, we must decide to do the Decalogue. Look at verse 7. The law, the precept, the statutes. In other words, the rule for living. The law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. There it is. Remember the old movie, Ten Commandments? And Moses standing at the burning bush. Moses. Moses. Thou shalt. Listen. That's still in vogue. That God did not take it off, say, well, that's obsolete. Let's put this over here. He says he's commanded thee, constituted. It's not just recommended. It's required. Now, we're not talking about getting to heaven, because the law does say that you know, don't do this, don't that, and nobody is sinless. But Jesus didn't come to destroy the law. The Bible said he came to fulfill the law. And through the Spirit, he can. There are a lot of people who profess and want to believe they live by the Ten Commandments. But most of them cannot name them. Well, the ones I remember I live by. Tell that to the cop when he stops. Well, I didn't remember that law. Well, that's the law. They can't name it, much less know what the real ramifications and the applications of these laws are. And we're going to look into those. And I'm not going to read. You go back in Exodus 20. We'll talk about that next week. So we've got to decide. The Word of God is the Word of God. We've got to decide to do. We've got to decide to do the Decalogue. And I've kind of touched on this. Number four, we need to decide to do the Decalogue distinctly. Distinctly. Oh, something like that. Have you ever substituted things in a recipe? Sometimes it doesn't work out too good. But as long as not Brussels sprouts, I'll eat it. Now, listen, we got to decide to do the Decalogue distinctly. He said, watch, verse 7, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. Stay on track. No variation, no room for personal preferences and adjustments. There's no room for political correctness. It's not there. Now, you don't have to be mean. You don't have to be nasty. You're not saying, I wish the whole bunch of them would go to, you know. No. In fact, if you're a Christian, you don't want them to go. Jesus doesn't want them to. He wants them saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But they do need to come to repentance. We all need to come to repentance. We probably still need to come to repentance every day. Confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we need to decide to do distinctly. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, perverse lips. Oh, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, standeth in the way of sinners. Don't let them get off track. Don't let them get you off track. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Don't ponder it. Don't look. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Watch. Watch where you're walking. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Distinctly. We need to decide to do the Decalogue distinctly. Number five. We must decide to do the Decalogue distinctly. Watch. In order to do well. To do well. Verse 7. Whole verse. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe, make it a point, to do according to all the law, the Decalogue, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left hand. That thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. He says that word, little word that, means with the purpose, in order, on the account that if you don't do it right, it will not get the result you intended. He says you got to do this according to the law that thou mayest prosper. To have the understanding and the wisdom needed to do well, to be a success in life. Now, my kids are sinners because they got it from their mother and their father. But they're sinners. They got the brains from their mama. They got the good looks from dad. It was on my mother's side too. Listen, I'll tell you, happiness is being able to have a happy family when all the kids show up. And there's been many people, and I'm going to say it, some even in here, who thought we were too hard on our kids. That we didn't beat our kids. That's not what the rod is for. But we're supposed to train our children. There's some things we do and some things we don't do. The Bible says, foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from thee. But again, I always put it in here. The rod is the same rod that our shepherd had. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It goes on and says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They don't make me bleed, they comfort me. There's a hook on one end that says, nope, we don't do that. And there's a knob on the other that said, I said we don't do that. But you're not there to beat the sheep to death. You're there to limit their options. Why? Because I don't want them to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. They're standing in the way of sinners. They're sitting in the sea of the scornful. But I want their delight to be in the law of the Lord. So that's why we drag them to church. Our house we go. But by the way, if you're living right, and you got a good church, folks that live right, they like being there. It's the truth. You know why? How you know it's going to work? Well, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So that's how we raise our kids. Now, they're not perfect. They may still fail me because they're human just like the rest of us. So far, so good. I know I'm bragging on my kids. I'm not bragging on my kids. I'm bragging on him. All I did was what he told me. And sometimes I messed up. Wasn't perfect. Was I? Just smiling. She's nice. But there has been times I said, I'm sorry. Because I was wrong. Because it's more important for them to know that I was wrong than for me to save face. Because I need to know that I want to know them to know truth. It's more important for them to know truth than to think that daddy's perfect. In fact, if I tell them daddy's perfect, I'm lying to them because they're going to find out one of these days. So we must decide to do it distinctly in order to do well. Now, oh, it's time. I'll tell you what. Let me read the last verse, and we'll start here next week because there are some things I want you to see. It says verse 8. You say, well, he's repeating the same thing. Uh-huh. Did you ever repeat things to your kids? Well, I just said it two minutes ago. Uh-huh. Case you missed it. Verse 7 says, only be thou strong and very courageous, thou mayest observe to do according to all which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper, get ahead, whithersoever, whatever you're into. This works with your kids. This works with your marriage. This works with your business. This works with your boss. You might be surprised if you actually go in and act like a Christian is supposed to act. Not telling the boss off, actually doing what you're supposed to do, you might end up like Joseph and working your way up. You might end up like Daniel, working your way up. You might be surprised. So he says, turn not from the right hand to the left hand, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Verse 8, this book of the law. So in case you missed it again, let me say it again. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Oh, I'm going to say it anyway. That word depart means it never stops being right here on the tip of your tongue, right on the lips, ready to go. In other words, you're so full of it, Word of God, that it just falls out all the time. It never leaves the mouth. It's always there. You're saying something in the Scripture, Bible. By the way, the Holy Spirit leads us in all truth. He says he promises to bring it to our remembrance. This song, this verse here, Joshua 1:8, I couldn't remember it. I had a hard time. I've done this before. I had to memorize this in college, and I couldn't do it. Just being a music guy, I thought, well, let's see here. This book of the law, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth.
But thou shalt meditate, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success.
Now, that little thing just goes over and over and over and over and over and over in my head. And sometimes I'm doing that just like A, B, C, D, E, F, G, because it's not supposed to depart out of your mouth, because the promises of God need to be as real to you as some advertisement you saw on TV. You get two of them. But wait, if you call now, you get two for the price of one. We ought to have the Word of God just falling off our lips all the time. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate, think on it therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee? Are you listening? That's what he's saying to kids. Are you listening? I'm going to tell you one more time now. Have not I commanded thee, be strong. It's going to be tough. Sometimes you're going to wonder. Be of good courage. Be not afraid. It's going to get scary. Neither be thou dismayed. Don't get down on it. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whither thou soever thou goest. Don't get scared. I got you. But Dad, don't be dismayed. Don't be dismayed. I'm right here. I will not drop you. I will not forsake you. You're not going to jump on and say, hey, wait a minute. No, I'm right here. I got my eye on you. A formula guaranteed. Formula for success. Stick with his book. Do what it says. Don't get scared. And when it gets a little fishy, just stick with it. He will not forsake thee. Father, thank you for your word, for speaking to us here this morning. Lord, I wanted to be encouragement. I know it's been a little long again this morning, but Lord, I want to understand these principles. Lord, we miss this principle. Really, everything else we try to do kind of gets lost. Because if we don't understand this is your word, we need to trust it, we're just going to be lost. So Lord, I pray you speak to hearts. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. In a moment.